What's up, everybody?
Glad to be here.
This is the best thing I've done all week.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here.
Are you ready for the best podcast ever?
After 4 years of investment and many days of begging, here I am on the podcast. Big fan.
All right, we're here with Cedarville President Dr. Roy. Big hustle. That's what the infield singles are about.
Hey, I like it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Welcome to week 26 of the Infield Singles Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Michael Connor. Joined with me in the BTS today is Tad McKenna, Josh Wells, and for the moment, Chase Gruitt. He's back on the show after being kicked off mid-episode last week. So we'll see if he can survive a whole week this time around. So how's everybody doing?
Great.
Really good.
Well, not as good as I could.
Chase?
Living the dream.
So, Tad, why are you not doing as well as you could?
Was super hype coming into the day, coming into the recording. Watched the Cardinals game. They hit like 3 or 4 home runs. Was super hype. And then they lost. They should have tied it, but the Brewers guy robbed them, and they lost. So the road to the 162-0 season stopped today.
So you might be wondering where all this Cardinals talk is coming from, and it is coming from opening day. The official opening day after the MLB had that random two-game series in Japan last week to kick off the season. This is the actual opening day where all of our teams are playing, and so far I think the Tigers won, the Reds won, Cardinals lost, and the Indians lost. So the infield singles are 2-2 on the day.
Ooh.
I don't know, Chase, do you have a team?
I don't like baseball.
Chase, I like Syracuse.
Yeah, how's Syracuse baseball doing this year?
Has college baseball started?
All right, so Chase's team is
Well, we've had how many episodes with baseball players on?
We literally just had a soft. Well, you weren't. Never mind.
I don't pick the interviewees.
Yeah, but you didn't know. You didn't hear them that they said that they're like 6-12 or whatever the record is. Like, that means they've played games and they're in college.
Well, that doesn't mean every other college has started. I don't know.
They got to play somebody.
All right, so the infield singles are excited to bring you episode 26 this week. Josh almost mentioned there that we have an interview with softball pitcher and first baseman Morgan Arbogast on this week. She's a 4-year member of the Cedarville softball team.
If you're from the area, she is not the heir to the Arbogast automotive empire. Just clearing that up.
All right, so if that's the reason you're going to listen, you might as well just turn it off now. But we sat down, had a great interview with her. She kind of talked about how the season's going so far. They got off to a really good start and have kind of slowed down as of late, but she seemed very optimistic that they'll turn it up in the second part of the season.
Yeah, I think it's proven fact that once you go on the infield singles, your season goes better.
Yeah, the baseball team, they've already won more games this year than they did all of last year. Mm-hmm. So.
And did they interview with us last year?
No, they did not.
Thank you very much.
So, I mean, shout out to you guys, but you're also welcome. So, exciting week this week with baseball starting and the NCAA tournament kind of getting into full swing. We got the Sweet 16 starting tonight. How's everybody's brackets looking?
Real bad.
I didn't pick very many upsets, so not too bad, actually.
Mine's not looking too bad. We'll see after the Sweet 16, though.
Chase, who'd you have in your final?
I have Florida State, and I had Cincinnati. Not the best choice.
Yeah, well, hopefully Florida State can beat Gonzaga then, which they're not right now.
A lot of basketball left.
Yeah, but if the game ended now, they'd lose.
Well, that's not how basketball works.
So we didn't really have much fan mail. We only had one submission this week, so we might as well make it into a whole conversation topic because, well, the question would lead to quite the conversation. So this week's question – crap. Oh, here you go. This week's question comes from a big fan of ours out of Muskegon. I think it's like Spencer's mom's friend, Melissa Randles, who also goes by Missy. So hello, Missy. She asks, seeing that you're almost done with your college career, what has been your favorite college memory? Chase, what's been your favorite college memory to this point?
So one night it snowed at like 10 p.m. or something. Like, who wants to go to the Indian Mounds?
What are the Indian Mounds?
The Indian Mounds are our local little, we have one Indian Mound with like waterfalls and little paths in Cedarville. And so we went down there, like it's pitch black, there's like 4 or 5 inches of snow, we're just trekking through. And we get to the Indian Mound. It's just like the whole time, it is beautiful out in the woods. Just beautiful.
I'm not bitter, but I would like to point out that earlier that night, I asked if anybody wanted to go hiking or go outside while it was snowing at night. Nobody wanted to. And then they had this, and it was the greatest night of Chase's life.
Pretty much.
Fact.
Josh, what's been your number one memory to this point?
Well, I would get in trouble if I didn't say proposing. So, but as far as other things going, one of the moments that actually is brought back from like freshman year, really enjoyed going over to Michael and Sean Carlson. Has he been on before?
We've referenced him enough.
Okay. They used to room, and going over to their room like every single day, that was pretty fun. But one memory that kind of sticks out is when we were playing What Are the Odds in freshman year, and Chase got up on the rock, which is, if nobody knows what, if you don't know what the rock is, it's our Sevierville tradition that you just kind of like paint the rock whatever the heck you want to paint it. But he got up on top of the rock and like yelled at this girl that was just passing by and just told her to prepare for the ice age. That was pretty funny.
All right, so Tad, what's been your number one memory?
I would have to do a lot of introspective, retrospective, outrospective thinking to figure out my greatest memory. So I'm just going to go with a memorable memory. We were in Lawler, and Dirty Sean was walking around shirtless, and we had some barbecue sauce, and we were like, Sean, do you think you can lick barbecue sauce off your nipple? Sure enough, he can. And I used to have a video of it, but it's gone now. And that's probably for the better. But that's a memorable memory that I have without having to think too intro, retro, outrospectively.
I'd say for mine, likewise, I'd have to think quite a bit. So I'll just go with the first ones that kind of come to mind. I think the second Christmas album we made, that we sold during our school's campus Christmas, and we made like $150, which is still sitting in our room right now. We haven't done anything with it. But that was a good time, and then I think the fantasy football banquet was a good time, that for being something that we came up with in a car ride.
Which one?
The second one. The first one was great, but the second one is kind of built off of it. Both of them.
Have we told the story of how we came up with that yet?
No, why don't you go ahead.
Okay, so it was terrible circumstances. We all went down to the Berg, shout out the Berg, for Josh's papaw's funeral, and we were all dressed up. Because we're classy guys, and we were on the way back, and we were all dressed up, and it was like, man, well, I don't remember the exact conversation, but that was essentially, we were like, yeah, we should have a fantasy football banquet.
Well, it was something like, we look nice, why can't we?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was us wallowing in our self-pity.
The answer's not that hard, actually.
Yeah, but, so then we were like, well, we should have a banquet. You have to bring a girl, and you dress up, and, you know, make it a nice affair, and there it was.
And from that, a nice tradition was born. All in Sean's Honda Pilot, going back to school from Cincinnati. So then, our good friend Missy asked the follow-up question of, is there anything that we regret not doing during our time at Sevierville? And Chase has made a few references throughout the year about him. Like, there's stuff, more hijinks he wishes he could have gotten into, stuff like that. So, Chase, what's kind of been one thing you've regretted not doing?
I don't know. I feel like we could have had more fun times.
Care to specify?
I don't know, man. Just like goofing off a little bit more, taking some more risks, maybe get probed.
Okay, so to clarify, probed was a term used by Andy Ballantyne on the show a few episodes ago when he talked about getting probation. But they kind of talked about a lot of their story. So like what that they have done, like what do you wish you could have done? What is one thing?
Dude, that boat idea was great. We could have done something like that.
What boat idea?
Well, they took the big booty hunter and tried to sail across the lake.
So your biggest regret is not being Kevin and Andy?
Not being Kevin and Andy, maybe doing more fun stuff like...
But your reference was a direct Kevin and Andy thing.
Yeah.
So, and this is also coming from the kid that takes 2-hour naps after he sleeps until 12.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I'm just saying, you have plenty of time to do fun stuff, but you just sleep.
Sleep's very important to me.
All right, Josh, biggest regret to this point?
I think something that would have been fun to do, I don't know why I found it so funny or fun, like, in my mind, but the cardboard canoe race, I always thought it'd be kind of funny to, like, go diving and then, like start poking holes in all the kids that worked, like, hours upon end. I was one of those kids. I know how much work went into it. How funny it would have been just to start slashing from underneath and watch them all sink.
That would have been something. Ted?
This one's actually kind of serious. I always wished I was a tour guide, and I think it would be super fun. It's not paid or anything. You do get a sick jacket, but, like, being able to, like, take the families on tours and, like, you can say whatever you want and they'll believe you, but for the most part, probably, as long as it's, like, fairly reasonable. But, you know, just, like, you know, feeding them all the little stories that I wanted to, you know. I feel like that would have been a good time.
I think one thing that I wish I would have done is run for SGA president last year. Because I like Ryan Smith a lot. I think he's a great fella and that he's doing a very good job so far. But I would have liked to at least throw my hat in the ring and seen what kind of campaign I could have put together. I think me and Marcus one time talked about putting a campaign together. And that would have been fun just to try. We would have gotten to get on stage in chapel or something like that and shared our vision for the campus and the student body as a whole.
What would your platform have been?
Well, our slogan was, "Let's get this crap over with," but that was a tentative, kind of like a rough draft, but I don't know. Oh, and then our friend Missy also finishes the email with, "And I beg you, please, as a group, go spend a day in Hocking Hills. I hear it's incredible." Anyone know what Hocking Hills is?
You've never heard of Hocking Hills?
Tell me.
It's the cool thing to do.
Oh, it's a very cool place. There's, like, hills, lots of hocking. It's, like, cool hiking stuff.
It's a state park. People go there to, like, climb rocks and stuff like
that. Yeah, Big Steve is a big fan.
We'd be remiss if we went a whole nother episode without bringing up the royal wedding coming up in May. So, Josh, why don't you update the folks at home real quick on how that planning is going, if there's anything, any new developments.
We got our food today. We have a fruit display. No, we do not have a fruit display. Appetizers are expensive. So we are going to have something like chips and pretzels for appetizers. And then we got some chicken with a champagne white sauce and some beef au jus.
Ooh, bless you. So you got the food. How do you plan on keeping it fresh until the wedding?
That's for the Amish people that are catering us to decide.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. We got food.
One more thing before we throw it on over to Morgan. Get it, softball reference.
Underhand.
Yeah, underhanded. If you are a faithful Twitter follower, you will see that we had a Twitter poll, or not a Twitter poll, a Twitter contest going. It ended last night at midnight. But I guess if you want to, we'll extend it to Friday evening since this podcast will air. But if you can correctly guess how many infield hits there will be in the month of March, so today's the 28th, so 29th, 30th, 31, and there's already been a couple games. But if you can correctly guess that, you will win a prize pack, which you will find out what that is when you win. Ooh. So keep you on your toes there. But, yeah, feel free to enter that. Right now we've got anywhere from, I think, 5 or 6 is a low ball to my mom sent in 45. So hopefully a lot of people are hitting some dinkers down the line and beating the throw. But we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, shout out to Mrs. McKenna coming out firing right out the gates. That's what we like to see. So on that note, everyone go participate in the contest, and we're going to, as Tad said, underhand toss it on over to our interview with Morgan after a quick word from our sponsor.
Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Baby, let those games begin. Let those games begin.
Welcome back to the Infield Singles. This is episode 26. Like we said, this week we have on Cedarville softball star Morgan Arbogast. She is a four-year member of the Cedarville Yellow Jackets softball team. I won't go into all of her accolades. Maybe we'll touch into those here in a minute. But Morgan, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. We've had several baseball players on, and since our name is the Infield Singles, there's also Infield Singles in softball. So I guess it's been long overdue that we've had a softball player on.
I guess so.
Yeah. But so it's good to finally crack into the softball team here. You're a senior this year, so you've had 3 years under your belt. How's this season looking compared to the other 3 years that you've been here?
Well, we're almost halfway into playing games this year, and we started off really well in Florida. We actually played a doubleheader the weekend before we left for Florida, and we came out, we swept them 2-0. So we went into Florida 2-0, and then we came out of Florida, and our record was 12-2. So that was an awesome way to start. I kept saying, I was like, man, like, what a way to end your senior year with one of the best records that Cedarville softball's ever come out with. And then the week after Florida, we ended up being ranked number 19 in the nation. So that was pretty sweet because we've never had that high of a ranking in CU softball history. So that was pretty sweet. But after that, we've kind of gone downhill a little bit since coming back to Cedarville. We've kind of just hit this like mental block, I think it is, honestly, that we're just, I think the pressure and the anticipation and everything of just getting out there every day has just kind of been a lot for some of the girls. And so I just think that getting past the whole mental block of thinking that there's these expectations that we have to meet because we were ranked, kind of just need to come down a little bit so that we can get back to playing softball and playing the game that we know how. So
yeah, it looks like you have played some pretty good teams this year, though. I see, like, Grand Valley State here. Mm-hmm. They're always good at everything. I see they're, like, 10th in the country.
Yeah, Grand Valley was two really tough games. The first game, she is a national pitcher, the first game that we played against them. We struck out, I think, 12 times against her. It was ridiculous. But I, hats off to her. Like, I've never seen a better pitcher in my life, like faced a better pitcher. So she was really good. So that game was obviously theirs. But we held them 1-0 in that first game. So I was pretty proud of that.
Yeah. And then also, let's see, this St. Anselm team was 12th in the country. So looks like that was on the Florida swing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was one of our losses in Florida as well. So, and we played well that game. I wouldn't say that game was anything to be disappointed about. So we definitely have played some tough teams. Saginaw was even a decent team. And then coming back, even we started conference play with, Ohio Dominican, and they were better than we expected them to be as well. They came out ready to hit, and they did. They just pounded the ball. So we've faced some pretty tough competition coming back from Florida. Not that we didn't face tough competition in Florida, but I just think Florida's a break, you're not in school, you're in warm weather, you're just ready to play, and you get back and it's cold and you have schoolwork on top of playing, and it's just those added pressures that kind of carry over into the game.
Yeah, I know you guys have been pretty good in the GMAC in past years. When we talked to the baseball guys, they kind of said they had some beef with Walsh. Does it get chippy out there? Does anybody like trash talk, or who is like your biggest rival that you always like want to beat that team?
It used to be Trevecca, but we have since added so many other teams to the GMAC, and we kind of have stomped on Trevecca in the past few years. So, I don't know. That's been kind of fun just through my 4 years. Like, Trevecca's been that rival. But since adding these tough teams, I mean, it literally is anyone's game. It's crazy. Like, going into ODU, we were like, oh, yeah, we've got this. And then we ended up getting beat both games. So like they're a tough one. They were also probably not one of the nicer teams in the GMAC. So like just like softball cheers that like we don't do because they're mean. I don't know. It's just funny to hear some people say stuff. We're like, man, that's rude. Like they told one of our pitchers that they were slow and we were like, well, that wasn't very nice. So some of it's just kind of stupid and petty, but, I don't know. There's other teams like Finley. They're a really good team. They'll be up there. Tiffin, I don't know. They'll all be pretty good. So I'm interested to see where everyone stacks up this year because we've usually been at the top, but it depends how we end up playing, I guess, in the next few weeks.
So aside from some jeers and some other things that you've learned from other teams, when you go face these good teams that beat you, is there just like a lot of things you take from those games, or what do you learn through the process there?
I think just learning to keep the game slow and at the pace that we want to play the game. Sometimes that's hard to remember because it's just pitch after pitch after pitch. And sometimes in those games that the other team starts to pull ahead and they're just whacking ball after ball to the fence, those just get really frustrating, especially for the defense and the pitcher. So those are the times that you just need to call timeout and just be like, team, we got this. Let's get it back together and let's play the defense that we know how to play. So I think those are the things that we mostly take away from these tougher games. But also, those are the games that you can't have errors. So we've also learned that we can't be making errors on defense, especially when our offense isn't there. We haven't been hitting well since getting back to Cedarville. So last year, we had that problem too. But the thing was, our defense was so solid last year. So our defense, as long as they could play defense, our offense would hopefully catch up. But this year, our offense started to dip down, and then our defense has kind of been doing the same thing. So that's been really rough. So we've also learned that we need to stay tight on defense if our offense isn't going to be there.
So when you guys go on road trips, I guess getting away from the game itself, do you have like a go-to like squad that you like room with or whatever, or people that you're super tight with?
So they assign our rooms for us when we go away on trips, which is pretty cool because you just get to hang out with other people on the team and stuff. But I don't know. It's crazy because this team dynamic is very different than any we've had in the past years. But I would say probably one of my go-tos on the team is Sarah Parsons. She's our shortstop. She has the fastest arm overhand that I've ever seen someone throw. In softball, she's gotten clocked at like, I don't know, high 70s overhand. Wow. It's crazy. She can get that ball to first base like that. Like, it's crazy. So she's awesome. She's such a good player and such a good friend too. I look toward her for just the spiritual leadership on the team as well. She's just a super solid girl, and I love her. She's awesome. And I would also say just my juniors too. They're pretty cool. It's crazy because I'm the only senior that's really played for the last 4 years. So I'm the only one left out of, we started with 10 actually, and now it's just me. So it's been a challenging year just to figure out like what my leadership role is, just because people usually have other people in leadership that they can go to and stuff. So like I said, Sarah would be kind of my right-hand man, I guess, when I'm needing someone else to kind of feed off of. But my juniors, they're really great. The twins, Heather and Hannah, they're pretty great about stepping in, being leaders. Those girls help pick up anything or do any odd jobs that they're asked or not asked. And then we've got Kara, Lucia, and then Danae is also, she's graduating this year, so she's technically considered a senior, but she's graduating in 3. So she's been really good to help pick up some of the pieces that we've kind of dropped off since being back from Florida. So Danae has such a softball mind. Like, she knows the game so well. So having her mind and like head in the game and everything has been really great to have her beside me. So that's been pretty cool.
We won't tell anybody, but do you have a favorite between the twins?
Do I have a favorite?
Yeah.
No, they're both awesome. If I'm going to say either one, Hannah, I throw out the outs to in the outfield. She's usually in center. So she's been moved around quite a bit since we've gotten back. So like to throw like one out, two out, like to throw it out to the outfield, basically like hold my hand up and say how many outs and stuff. It's been challenging to find her sometimes because she used to be in center field and then she moved to left. And then these last 2 games, she got moved into 3rd. And I was like, where's my girl Hannah at? Yeah. So, but Heather plays second too. So Heather was fun when I played first base a little bit. I've played first a few innings in the past 3 years, but I haven't touched first this year. But it's been fun just to play along both of them. So,
do you prefer pitching or hitting, or what's your favorite? I'm assuming pitching.
Yeah, pitching's my favorite. But hitting's always been something that I've loved and that I thought I've been good enough to pitch and hit, because not many people do that. So every year I've worked really hard to stay in the lineup and to earn my spot in the lineup. So every fall ball, I walk in and I'm like, hey, coach, like, what's your plan for this year and stuff? Like, do you want me to go to hitting practices or not? Do you want me to focus on pitching? And he usually is like, no, Morg, we want you to go to hitting practices because we want to use your bat in the lineup. And the other day he made the comment, he was like, Morg, when you hit the ball, you hit the ball harder than anyone on this team. And like, that's the thing. I've been in kind of a slump lately that I just need to hit the ball. I'm kind of in my head right now. So yeah, I just need to get up there and get some base hits and kind of get back into the swing of things. So
yeah, we see here that you had 99 strikeouts last year.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, is there like one batter that you remember that you had like in the hole but you just couldn't get him out, and that could have been the 100th strikeout?
Oh my goodness. No, I actually didn't even remember having 99 strikeouts. Now that you mention it, like, I'm like, oh yeah. But I try not to look at my stats too much because then, like I said, you just get in your head about where your batting average is, where your ERA is and stuff. So my main goal is usually to keep my ERA down. Usually I want it below a 1.5, which if you look at it now, it's like a 2.4 or something like that. So, but that's where those pretty tough games came in. And sometimes even stat-wise, like, things will get scored as earned runs when really they should have been errors and stuff like that. So stats are always kind of subjective, so that's kind of hard when it comes to stats and stuff. So we try not to look at those to kind of base our performance off of. But yeah, I don't know. I wish last year that like I could have made it to 100 strikeouts, but that would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, so. And you know, even if you don't look at the stats, maybe some of the baseball pitchers need to. I know it's still early, but we've been saying they're going to have a comeback season, but their stats are kind of, you know, shout out to them. But, you know, we got to work on those ERAs, guys.
Yeah, for sure.
So baseball, softball, weird games. Mm-hmm. A lot of weird things happen. Mm-hmm. How long have you been playing softball?
Since I was 6. So I actually was calculating it the other day. It's been, what, I'm 22, so 16 years.
Maths, yes. what is the weirdest thing you've ever seen or been a part of while playing softball?
Oh my goodness. The weirdest thing that I've ever seen.
Or multiple.
Recently, I would say our first game against Saginaw Valley, we were up on them 6-2 headed into the 7th inning. And all we had to do was hold them. And I got on the mound and my arm wasn't feeling that great, but I was like, okay, Morgan, like, you can do it and stuff. And like, they were good hitters. So sometimes it's kind of hard to pitch around people. But that inning, the ump, he had a pretty consistent strike zone, and it literally went to the size of a golf ball. Like, it was so small. Like, I was like, what do you want me to do? Just pitch it down the middle of the plate and like let the girls hit it, you know? And so that happened. And then, so they just started hitting because I was walking people because the strike zone was so small, and it just was not a good situation. And so bases got loaded, people ended up getting hits. It was then like 6-3, I think, at the time, and a fly ball for out 2 got hit to center field, and it got dropped. Like, it was just a pop fly and it got dropped somehow. But it was crazy because so many bad things just ended up getting strung together, and we ended up losing that game. I think it was like 9-8.
Nine to ten.
So we ended up coming back and we ended up going into extra innings, but it had started with the squeezing of the strike zone, and we were all just like, this is the weirdest game. Like, so many whack things happened. So I would say that was crazy. I'm trying to think of stuff just in the past and everything. We've had some pretty bad umpires this year. But
yeah, so when the ump is, like, squeezing the strike zone like that, do you ever, like, say anything to him? Because I remember, like, you know, superstar ace, like, 7th grade Tad was pitching one time. And the ump, like, in the field was, like, some guy, like, in my high school. And the guy caught a ball that was clearly down the middle. Mm-hmm. And I said, like, where is that? And the guy in the field, like, pulled the tough guy card and was like, if you say one more thing to him, I'm going to throw you out. And I was like, okay, buddy. But, like, do you ever say anything like that to them, or do you kind of try to keep your composure up there?
So most of the time I try to keep my composure. I've gotten better as the years have gone on, but sometimes I'll throw my, like, not in an attitude sort of way, like I have an attitude with the umps, but sometimes I'll throw my hands up, like asking the catcher, like, hey, can you ask them where that was? And usually they'll tell you, they'll, like, signal to me, like, oh, it's up or down or out or in. And sometimes they'll tell you, but other, like that game that I was just talking about, that he squeezed the strike zone so bad, the outfield ump was out there talking to our shortstop, Sarah, and he literally was like behind her saying like, oh, I don't know where that was. Oh, I don't know where that was. I'm like, I wish you were behind the plate now. Because the other guy wasn't giving me anything. And so after that game, my coach and my dad were both like, next time just pitch it down the middle of the plate and let him hit it. Like, that's better than walking people. And I was like, yeah, I guess you're right. But at that moment, I was so frustrated that he had squeezed his own so much. So, yeah.
So as a pitcher, have you ever thrown at anyone or gotten so frustrated you just tried to take someone out?
Like intentionally hit anyone?
Yeah.
No. No. Sometimes catchers like will get fed up with people and they'll want to intentionally hit someone. But a lot of times we just kind of stick with the intentional walk or something if we want to just kind of get through the batter. So
it's usually pretty low-key. We had Hunter Kranick on a couple episodes ago, and he said that, like, they'll threaten to fight batters or even fight umpires, so nothing like that's going down.
No, nothing quite like that. Girls are a little bit different when it comes to those things. It's so funny because we were actually talking the other day in the dugout. We were like, man, like, what it would be to get into a field fight, like, and everything. And I was like, coach, it's my senior year. Let me get in a fight. Like, that'd be so cool. And the other day, I actually got hit in the hand by a ball, like, by one of the Grand Valley pitchers who she was throwing smoke. So I got hit in the hand, and it was my pitching hand, and I have never been so mad, like, getting hit by a pitch. So I, like, chucked my bat back to the dugout, and all the girls were like, we thought you were about to charge the mound. And I was like, I thought about it. Like, I was not happy. So, but it's funny because we're all talk. We'll end up talking about it, and no one's ever going to actually – anything's going to happen. So
okay, so suppose you were to charge the mound. Who do you think would be the first person out of the dugout, like, with your back and everything?
With my back?
Yeah, like, first person to have your back as you're charging the mound.
That's a good one. I don't know. I think Danae would be there because that girl can pack a punch. But, like, the twins, they'd be scrappy, like, man, here I come. And then there would be, like, Sarah in the background probably being, like, Miss Hype Girl in the background. Like, yeah, like, you go get them, Morg, like, type of thing. So I think it would be really funny just to see how it would play out. But, yeah.
And who do you think's picking up your bat and walking back to the dugout as the fight's going on?
Brooke. Brooke's a freshman. She's awesome. She's such a good player, but sometimes it's like, oh, man, that's pretty cool. Like, that's going on and stuff. It's like not all there sometimes, but I love Brooke to death, so I think she'd pick up the bat, just walk back in and be like, you go, Morg, and put the bat back down. So.
Well, it's good to know that what the baseball team lacks in, you know, self-control, the softball team more than makes up for it. So you were talking about 6-year-old Morgan playing softball.
Mm-hmm.
When you were that young, like, every little leaguer's dream is to play in the MLB. For, like, girls playing softball, like, is that your dream to play, like, for Team USA, or is there, like, professional softball leagues that are, like, pretty popular among softball players that they go to after college, or what does that look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think growing up, like, that was always something that was, like, a dream, I guess. But as, like, high school came and then college came and stuff, it was something that kind of became a lot less realistic because professional softball players don't make anywhere close to what MLB players do. And two, it's a lot harder to get into. So, like, the two that I would say are really famous growing up was the Chicago Pride, who Jenny Finch played for. That's why I knew them. And then the Akron Racers, who Crystal Bustos, her family started that, and she also played for Team USA. So that was pretty cool. When I was younger, I actually played at Akron Racers Stadium for like a Little League World Series and stuff, and we ended up going really far. And so that was really cool because at the age of 12, I was pitching in a professional stadium. So that was pretty awesome. And then, I don't know, I guess 6 years down the line, I'm, well, it wouldn't be quite six. I was counting high school. But freshman and sophomore year, so about 2-3 years later, my freshman and sophomore year, we made it to state, and state championships were at the same pro softball field. So that was really cool. And then this year, GMAC isn't being held at AIA, so it's back at Akron Racers Stadium.
Wow.
So
full circle.
Yeah, full circle. So it's pretty cool just to see how that's played out, because even the state championships, we lost both my freshman and sophomore year when we were there. And so the minute that my parents were like, hey,
He's with us.
The minute that my parents were like, man, like, you know you're playing at Akron Racers Stadium this year for GMAC, right? And I was like, no. They're like, we've got some unfinished business to take care of there. So I'm excited to see how that goes. But as far as playing pro ball, like, that kind of – it actually was there my sophomore year of college. I was like, man, like, I would love to coach and love to play pro ball and stuff. But as the last few years have kind of gone by, I've gotten more of a realistic perspective and stuff on things. I actually got an email a few months ago for an offer to try out for a semi-pro team. But I decided that I'm done and that I'm kind of just ready to move on with life.
Yeah,
and
go out on a high note.
Yeah.
So after the season, I know you're, what, an early childhood education major?
Yeah.
So do you plan on coaching and teaching, or what does that look like?
So right now I'm just applying for teaching jobs because everyone says that your first year is pretty tough.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to the first year. I've applied to several jobs so far, so hoping to hear back soon. But I've also seen coaching jobs available for high school and stuff. So I think that'd be pretty cool and a good place to start out. But the ultimate goal is to coach college. I think it'd be sweet to coach college and to coach like D2, D1 mm-hmm. college. Up there. I always say that my goal is to be a Patty Gasso, who's the coach for Oklahoma, and they're really good.
Yeah.
She's also a really solid Christian lady, so kind of just a goal out there, but I think it'd be pretty cool to coach college.
So after you're done playing competitively, do you think you'll transition your talents into like adult rec league softball? Because we're all looking very much forward to playing like church league softball. Like, that's like the number one criteria for us picking a church next year is like, what's their rec leagues look like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So do you think you'll just start raking in the strikeouts in the slow pitch leagues? Or?
That's so funny that you say that. I don't know. Like, I have probably played slow pitch maybe twice in my life, and every single time I play it, I'm like, this isn't softball. This is not softball. I can't do it. So it's kind of hard sometimes because people literally are just swinging for the fences, and I think it'd be so hard to wait on the ball because you're used to the ball coming in at 65 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden it's coming in at 30-something. So I don't know. I think it'd be pretty hard, but recently, my sister and her husband, they're out in Oklahoma. They just got married. They are playing church league flag football, and I think that'd be pretty fun.
Yeah.
So I think trying new things after college might be what I'm looking for. I don't know.
Yeah. So obviously, softball is underhand and baseball is overhand. If they switched, which one do you think would have a harder time adjusting? So like if baseball had to pitch underhand, softball had to pitch overhand.
I honestly think softball players would have a harder time adjusting because everyone always says that the softball pitching motion is more of a natural motion than the baseball. So I think it'd be harder on our arms to try and figure out how to pitch.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think mechanically softball is a little bit harder than baseball because you have more of a motion than just kind of throwing the ball overhand. Which
those sound like fighting words right there.
I know. I'm Riley and Hunter are probably gonna listen to this and be like, Morgan, you're wrong.
Well, you can point to the stats and then the conversation will be over.
But yeah, but like mechanically there are so many components to a softball pitcher's wind up and like her motion and everything that I think that would be kind of hard to put it all to learn and put it all together, I guess. So
well, it sounds like your shortstop can join in there if they do make the switch. If she's throwing 70.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so each episode we usually do like a speed round at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called a speed round, but a lot of people take a long time to answer questions. But I guess we'll give Michael a chance to look up some speed round questions. One, we'll start off with an interesting one. Let's say the aliens take over the Earth and you get abducted and taken back to their planet. Would you rather be put in a zoo or would you rather be put in the circus? So, like, you're a human being on an alien planet.
I think I'd rather be put in a circus. I feel like there's more freedom in that.
Yeah, and you get to see the alien planet, too. Like, that's what my take was, too. But
so, after that phenomenal opening question, what's your favorite color?
Blue.
Are you a morning person or a night owl?
Neither.
So, you're an afternoon animal, I guess.
Yeah. Being a teacher is maybe more of a morning person, but if you ask my roommates what I am, they would say neither because I go to bed at like 10 o'clock, and when I wake up, I need a half hour at least to drink my coffee.
Let's see. Favorite pizza topping?
Pepperoni.
Favorite word?
The softball girls will tell you my favorite phrase is, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, and then I'll explain my thing.
All right. Favorite vegetable?
Broccoli.
Favorite boy band?
Jonas Brothers.
Puppies or kittens?
Puppies, all the way.
Who's the last person who texted you?
My mom.
Bacon or Nutella?
On Nutella?
Bacon or Nutella. or yeah, if you like Nutella on bacon. Or.
I'm going to go with Nutella.
Favorite sport aside from softball?
Basketball.
What's your biggest pet peeve?
I don't know. Right? Bad umpires.
Bad umpires. Do you own plants?
Yes, I love plants.
What's your favorite plant?
I have two aloe plants, but I also really like cactuses. Cacti.
All right, this is a question we asked Hunter. What's your favorite rock?
Rock?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Since he's a rock.
Rocks. Yeah.
He's is a, he? Well, I didn't know that. He,
geology, technically. I'm not going to demean major. His major.
But. Whatever.
I don't know. Sedimentary, igneous, oh, all boy. The rocks. All
right, earth science.
I took earth science 2 summers ago. They sent me a rock kit.
Yeah.
Rocket?
Rock.
Rock kit.
Rock kit in the mail so that I could take that course.
All right, shout out to earth science. Favorite cartoon?
I don't really watch cartoons.
Favorite substitute curse word? So if you, instead of an actual curse word, because we go to Cedarville, so no one says bad uh-huh. words here. What word, like, is there natural just?
I don't know. I don't think dang it's really a substitute, but I say dang it a lot.
All right, that works. What's your life motto?
I don't know. You know?
I don't know, you know.
All right. I don't know. Here's just the here's, the, here's thing. The thing. My team would tell you that.
Twitter or Instagram?
Instagram.
What time do you usually get up?
6.
What's the funniest joke you ever heard?
Ask Carrie Jesperson on the team. She's got some good jokes.
All right. All right, then the last question. We usually ask people if they think OJ did it, but, you know, OJ Simpson.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're trying to try new things here. So our new final question is, why can't women put on mascara with their mouth closed?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think probably because they're trying to look up, so their mouth drops. Like, your head goes up, so your mouth drops. I don't know. That's my best answer. All
right.
Well, it's really not that hard to put it on with it closed.
We'll send it over to our makeup expert. Josh, why do you think women can't put on mascara without their mouth?
I don't.
All right.
Thank you, Josh. All right. Well, that you successfully survived our speed round.
Thank you.
So congratulations.
All right, before we end here, do you have any final words you want to portray to the public? The
folks at home.
Yeah.
We're headed, our games this weekend got canceled, so Tuesday, Wednesday, we are headed to Walsh and Malone to play GMAC games.
Davis and Elkins.
Davis and Elkins, the next Friday.
April 5th.
That's Friday. Yeah. So that Friday, Saturday, I think we're playing Davis and Elkins that Friday, and Saturday, I believe, is Allerton Broadus. So... yeah, come on out, support CU softball. Friday should be 3-5, and Saturday should be 12-2. So come on out and support CU softball. We promise we'll pick up the pace.
Well, good to hear. Thanks again, Morgan, for coming on. We enjoyed the interview. Hopefully you had a decent time.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so everybody be sure to go out and catch some softball that weekend and cheer on your Yellow Jackets. So thanks again, Morgan.
No problem. Thanks, guys. If you love like that, blood
runs, 'cause baby, we got love. Special thanks once again to Morgan for coming on this week's episode. Be sure to go out and watch some Yellow Jacket softball next weekend. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, YouTube, listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, wherever else you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to participate in the Twitter contest going on. And as always, tee it high and let it fly.
Those are